far we're going to get today. We'll just start and see where we end up.
What chapter did you see, Jesse?
Romans 12. Just got done with the middle three chapters here on Paul really focusing on the nation of Israel's past, present, and future. Really focusing on them the last three chapters. And then now moving forward, it's going to be a lot of fun going to chapters 12 and 13. And I know that most of us on our Tuesday night when we went through Romans learned a lot about Romans 13 on what it's not saying, right, about the government. And again, it'll be funny to see some of your facial expressions when I go through that again and we come across that. Because we'll look at it again from the contextual point of view, right? Contextual point of view. Don't put America in Romans 13. Please don't do that. Okay, please don't put America in Romans 13. Don't put our Constitution in Romans 13. Please don't do that. Okay? Nero is in office in Romans 13. Nero is not praising and, you know, talking highly about people doing good. Right? And God did not put Nero in office. He murdered people to get there, and his mom did. Okay, God wasn't involved in that. I know this might rock some of you, you know, with authorities being placed in there by God. No, mankind can do that too, right? And again, we'll look at the context of everything on what it's trying to explain. But before we get into all the fun stuff of Romans 13, we got to look at Romans 12. And so now Paul is going to bring together the Jew and Gentile together. Again, the mystery of Christ making them one was not told to Peter, James, and John. It was told to Paul himself. And so Christ taught Paul about this mystery and to really explain it. And as Paul is the Gentile apostle, he really brings this forth. So we're going to see here in Romans 12 how these two groups, the nation of Israel being born again, and Gentiles who did not have the law being born again, what can they do together? What can they do together? So often, and I'll apply it to today, I'll take it out of context. So often, many times believers in Christ today look at what I can't do. What I can't do. Nowhere in Scripture does it ever focus on what you can't do, what you don't know, what you think you don't know. It focuses on the opposite, on here's what we need to know, and here's what you do moving forward. Does that make sense? It never focuses on if you went to Bible college, how long you've been saved, how long you've studied in church, what you know, if a pastor's taught you, not taught you, you know, it doesn't look at any of that. What can you do? And we're going to look at how a born-again Jew and a born-again Gentile can come together and focus on what they can do together. It's really, really cool. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 1. I urge you, therefore, brothers. This is the third and last therefore. You know, let's go to the other two. Romans chapter 5. Look at the first therefore. Romans 5. Here's a good therefore. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone say amen. That's pretty cool. Second therefore is Romans 8, 1. Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Again, another eternal security verse. Awesome. And then the third therefore is here in Romans 12. I urge ye therefore, so moving forward with the information you've just been given, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, we just got through the last three chapters being very Jewish, very focused on the nation of Israel. So this living sacrifice is going to be well on their ears, right? When they had these letters, and they would read the book of Romans to the believers at Rome, they're reading it from chapter 1 to the end of chapter 16, right? And they're not stopping. They're reading it full bore, right? Now, we on Sunday chop it up and go like chapter by chapter. They didn't do that. So it's going to be fresh on their mind what Paul just got done talking about the last three chapters, okay? So this presenting my body as a living sacrifice, they're going to go, okay, so no more going to the temple and offering sacrifices, no more bringing animals, no more bringing turtle doves, no more bringing grain or wheat or whatever I'm supposed to bring. No, no, no. Now moving forward, I am to present my body. Okay, so me, that's what God wants. God wants me, not what I have or not what I don't have, not who I think I am or what society thinks I am. God wants me and my body to be a living sacrifice. Now, to a born-again Jew, and even to a Gentile, because they're around sacrifices, they're going to know what that means, right? They're going to go, okay, gotcha. It's my life 24/7. Not, I don't check out after my devotional reading, and then I go to work, and then I check back in at night when I come home. No, it's I'm presenting my body. That's all day, every day. That never stops. So they're to do something with their faith. You're to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy. Holy means set aside for a specific purpose. Okay, it's set aside for a purpose. So every born-again believer has purpose, has meaning, has significance, has value. Now, if you don't think that, then we need to focus on what it says next and start renewing our mind to start thinking that. Every born-again believer has significance, has value, has meaning, has a purpose. It is a scary thing, a fearful thing for me, that when I'm dealing with God's children, when I know for sure someone is a child of God, I can't look at them, I don't want to look at them in a from a position of what they're doing now for God. I'm looking at them as a born-again child of God, and I am going to make sure that I try and do my best to treat them that way. It's humbling, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's humbling to look beyond someone's past, beyond what someone does or doesn't do, and go, okay, you're a child of God. I don't want to mess with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords' child in a negative way. So when I am going to rebuke someone, I am making sure that, number one, my heart is right with the Lord. And I've got everything going through my P's and Q's just right before I say, hey, remember the thing that we were talking about the other day? Let's maybe look at this. And so I can come across with rebuking in love, right? Because I am presenting my body as a living sacrifice. I'm understanding the person that I'm addressing. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Okay. Okay, it's holy, it's set aside for a purpose, and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service of worship. So it's the lowest that we can do, right? So Paul's telling this group, hey, the lowest thing that you guys can do is present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, and acceptable to God. It's your reasonable service of worship. So he's letting them know, here's what you guys can do together. Okay? I said a lot the last 11 chapters. Absolutely. But let's, therefore, now moving forward, here's what you guys can focus on as a summary. Here's what you guys can, like, cling on to say, okay, here's what we can do together. Here's what we can do together. A Jew who's born again and a Gentile who's born again can come together and do these three things together, can't they? Absolutely. If it weren't so, Paul wouldn't have told them to do it. So we can do that too, can't we? This is something that we can apply to us today. I do believe, and we'll see moving forward here when the gifts start coming, that when we're coming together, we all have different backgrounds, we all have different upbringings, we all have different environments that we were raised in, we all have, everything's different. But here are some things that we can come together on. We can all choose to present our bodies as a living sacrifice together. We can all choose to have our bodies holy. And I forgot the third one. Let's look. Holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service of worship. Verse 2. Do not, so here's something not to do. Do not be conformed to this world. Now, what does that mean, world? 1 John tells us all that's in the world, okay, it's not a people, it's not people. It's a system, it's a thought. All that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's in the world. 1 John says, if I love the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the love of the Father is not in me. It's not saying you're not born again. It's just the love of the Father isn't in you. You're not focused on the Lord or loving Him. You're focused on me, myself, and I. And we're going to see coming up here that the characteristic, when I focus on the Lord, not being conformed to this world, the first characteristic is humility. Pretty neat. So, do not be conformed to this world, but do what? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, as I transform and renew my mind, what will begin to happen? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is probably one of the better pictures of sanctification. Okay? Now, when we look at sanctification, we look at, you know, growing, maturing, okay? There really isn't a whole lot with that word being attached to it. Because usually it's a positional word, if I'm going to be honest. You are sanctified. Boom, it happened at a moment. We say we're being sanctified as we grow, but this right here, I think, in my opinion, is a better picture. We're being renewed, and something is changing. Okay, we're renovating is what it means. Okay, there's something that was there before that needs to be taken out and replaced. The more I reaffirm who I am in Christ, the more my behavior begins to reflect my true identity. So if I have value in Christ, I have significance in Christ, I have a purpose in Christ, I can present my body as a living sacrifice in Christ. If I start thinking about those things, my behavior will start showing that we all live out the Bible that we believe is true. You can't help it. You actively live out your life on what you believe. Now, I'm not saying you might say yes to a statement, but you don't believe it. Because when I believe something, it affects the way I live. It affects my behavior. Does that make sense what I'm saying? When I believe something, it changes how I live my life. It has an effect on me. So when I believe that, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard? I am going to actively tell someone else about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on them. Now, if that's true, and I believe it is, if that's true, then the Word of God is relying on me to tell someone else about Jesus. There's nothing in here on people having visions, trusting Christ as their Savior. That's not here. So if you start hearing about that in Africa and different areas, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It's not here. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard? There's one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So if that's true, I live out what I believe is true. It goes beyond saying yes to a statement. No, it's affecting my behavior. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I know I'm born again. Therefore, I am working out my salvation, not to be saved. I'm working out my life because I am saved. I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to do those wrong things, think those thoughts, say those things, be that person. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Yeah. No, grace is overflowing in my heart to where I go, no, I know that I can. And just the fact that I know that I can is enough for me to say, nope, I'm not. Nope, I'm not. I'm beyond that. Now, are there times when young believers struggle with that? Yes, absolutely. Right? We've got to help them. Nothing wrong with that. Everyone starts there. We've got to help them. Okay, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Start renovating. How? By the renewing of your mind. That's your soul, right? That's your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions. My thinker, chooser, feeler. It's all right here. Your heart, this pumping organ isn't where it's at. Your heart's here. Your heart is, what are you focused on? What are you thinking about? What's consuming you? You'll see when you live your life and you start journaling your life and you start journaling what you did throughout the day and you look over a 30-day journal period and you look at what you did, what you said, where you went, you'll see where your heart was. That's a scary thing, isn't it? It can be a scary thing, writing things down. Or it can be an encouraging thing, right? Or it can be encouraging, going, yeah, praise the Lord, I'm still on track. I look back, when I journal, I look back to see what was I focused on there? Where was my heart to get me to where I'm at now? Oh, okay, perfect. Or, ooh, I have some room to grow right here. I have some room to grow. Got to renew our minds. And as we renew our mind, what's going to happen? We're going to prove. We're going to make God look good. Isn't that fun? I enjoy proving God right. I enjoy when a tough life circumstance comes my way, and I say, okay, Lord, nothing that's going to happen to me that didn't first get your approval. So you might not want this, but you're allowing it. All right. You're allowing this to happen. I can't wait to stay calm, to rely on you, to show others what a mature believer looks like when this is happening to them, to prove you right, to show others that I don't feel left or abandoned. I don't feel like, you know, I'm just going to, you know, just bail out of my faith. No. I'm trusting in you. I'm going to endure. I'm going to prove you right, Lord. I'm going to prove that this can work for not only my good, but you know what, Lord? I'm going to be just maybe a little bit arrogant and say, this is going to help someone else also. Yeah, I can't wait to see who that is. Yeah. Pretty cool, isn't it? So we're going to prove God here. And what is the perfect will of God? We can do that. For I say, verse number 3, for I say to the grace given to me to everyone among you, here's the humility, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sound judgment according to the measure of faith God has distributed to every man. So as we start renewing our mind, I believe this is a systematic approach. This is just my thinking, that we will start seeing the first characteristic of me renewing my mind and relying on the Lord and being focused on him is I will come out supernaturally humble. I'll come out humble. I don't pray to be humble. I focus on renewing my mind, and a byproduct is I will be humble. My focus on the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. I'm going to focus on he who is in me, not me, myself, and what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. I'm focusing on him. Okay, I think in Ephesians chapter 5, the word walk's mentioned like 5 or 6 times in that chapter. Walk is yielding to the Lord. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's awesome. That's really cool. Okay, so humility will happen. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Okay, verse 4. For just as we have many parts in one body, and not all parts have the same function, you and me. So we, being many, are one body, how? In Christ, and all are parts of one another. We have diverse gifts according to the grace that is given to us. If prophecy, according to the proportion of faith. So prophecy is, you know, maybe something hasn't been written down yet, but here's the thing about according to faith, is that when something is prophesied, it will line up with what has already been written down, right? It's not something new. Okay, Joseph Smith was wrong. God did not speak to him, well, capital G God anyway, and say, okay, yeah, you're going to have this on top of the Bible. No, I don't think so. Ellen G. White, I don't think she was a prophetess either. They believe that her writings are as inspired as the Bible. Nope, not so. Because their writings don't line up with what the Bible teaches. Make sense what I'm saying?
Amen.
All right. So, can we have that? I would say yes. I think we still can have prophecy. If someone was going to tell me a doctrinal truth and maybe phrase something a little bit different than it's been phrased before, and I look at Scripture and go, that's a good way of saying that. Now, it's nothing new per se, right? It's just been explained a different way, a matter of semantics. That's one thing I tried to grow the last 2 years. Everything that I know is pretty much the same. But what I'm trying to really work on now, the last 2 years, is how do I articulate this? How do I get this truth across where you guys understand what I'm saying? Because 3 years ago, I got a lot of, okay, it's a simple doctrine. Obviously, I'm not saying it the right way. So I've worked on, okay, how do I really just kind of slow things down and maybe explain things a different way? So I've done more research on how to communicate, how to get different points across. Okay, oh, that makes sense. Oh, I understand now. I could see why I'm listening to my own sermons going, yeah, I could see why that could be confusing. I'm assuming you already know A, B, C, D. Okay, we all have a part to play. This is what's awesome about this. So no one's going to just come on this body and do nothing. Everyone has a job to do. Prophesying according to the proportion of faith, verse 7, if service and serving, he who teaches and teaching, he who exhorts and exhortation, he who gives with generosity, he who rules with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So, this is the gifts that were really focused on at Rome when Paul is writing to the group of believers at this time. Does that make sense? Now, are there other gifts that aren't mentioned here? Yes, absolutely. And those gifts were at Corinth that were focused to the Corinthians at that time. Okay, some of these gifts do cross over, but not all of them. Okay, so it's okay that not every single gift that's mentioned at Corinth isn't mentioned here. Or those gifts that are mentioned at Ephesus aren't mentioned here. It's okay. Maybe God didn't have those gifts at that church at that time. No problemo. Here's what Paul is getting at. Jew and Gentile together, each person's been given a gift to do something with it. You're now chosen to serve. You're not chosen to get saved after you choose Christ in your free will. Now you have a service to perform. So I think the American church has done this injustice. The American church has really focused on coming into a building and sitting down and learning something. That is nowhere in here. You don't come in here and sit down and learn anything. You come to give out your gift to edify other people in this body. Because that's your job. You have a gift. You have a job. And as you allow the Lord to use you, you'll know too, when I'm yielded to what God, how I want God to use me, and I see Him use me to encourage someone or to teach someone something, one of the greatest things that you'll ever see is when a light bulb goes on in a believer's life. Or an unsaved person gets saved, right? If you're an evangelist. Or if I'm teaching someone, or you're teaching someone, you guys have been there, right? You taught someone before, and it's like, ding, like the light goes on. And they start thinking on their own, going, okay, well, that makes sense here, And you start, the floodgates open up, right? You ever just want to kind of just like see if you get this cash out in a bottle? Right? You know what I'm talking about. When someone just gets it, like, yes, stay right there. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there. Yes. Keep going. That's right. I remember when I learned that. How it was just life-altering. I'm not ignorant or naive to think that there are other teachers in here besides myself. I don't care who God uses to help the body grow as long as we're growing. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not proud and arrogant to think, well, hold on, let me just fact check that real quick. No, praise the Lord. If that person taught you that, that's right. I'm going to rejoice with you. That's fantastic. Or if someone's down and out and you take it upon yourself, you have that supernatural ability to encourage someone, you know just what to say, when to say it, how to say it, that's gold. Because trust me, sometimes people mean well and say some stupid things to people at wrong times. Yep. And you go, oof, we'll work on that, you know. But they mean well, they're trying, right? They might not have that gift. But just because you don't have that gift doesn't mean there isn't a command for you to be hospitable also, right? I don't have that gift to be hospitable, but I'm commanded to be hospitable, so I'm going to try and do it. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Everyone has significance. Everyone has value. Can you imagine taking these two groups of people and saying, all right, guys, Jews and Gentiles, you're coming together now. This is how this is achievable. This is what you guys need to focus on. Let me give you some practical teachings here to help you. All right, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Now, a lot of this we can definitely apply to ourselves today. Hate what is evil. Cleave to what is good. Be devoted to one another with brotherly love. Prefer one another in honor. Excuse me. Do not be lazy in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. That's a great one, because sometimes I think people give up before their prayers are answered. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind for one another. Be not haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not pretend to be wiser than you are. You know, guys, I gotta say, if I can just brag on our church, this is like what we're doing right now. The last 2 or 3 years, I believe that we have been right in this area. You know, now these commands, we can say, yeah, these are for us also, but I think we've been practicing these. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, I look at this and go, yeah, we're doing that. Yeah, we're working on that. Yes, I mean, we're trying to achieve this, you know, because you guys, in your spirit, want to do these things. You guys are on your own desiring these, so when we come together, the Lord is allowing this to happen supernaturally in our body. And I think it's great to be a part of, personally. Verse 17, is that where I'm at? Okay, repay no one evil for evil, commend what is honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Try to take your guns away and go attack them. No, I'm just kidding. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now again, when we see commands of something negative on what not to do, a believer can do those things that Paul is saying don't do, right? He's telling them, this can't happen to you if you're not careful. Don't do it. So these are very practical truths that a born-again Jew and Gentile, as they're coming, it's new for them, right? How many of you get along with your in-laws really well? Okay, so most of you don't get along with your in-laws. Can you imagine for a second if you and your in-laws don't get along very well. And this was written for you guys to say, all right, guys, this is how you guys can get together and achieve everything. Because to a Jew, remember, they were to hate the Gentiles. Even when Christ was on the earth, he even told the disciples, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to them. It isn't their time yet. Even the Samaritans, they would walk a full day's travel around Samaria to get what they wanted to go back on top in Galilee. They were hated. And now Paul is saying, you guys can be together as one. Isn't that great? I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess there might be a little bit of hesitancy. A little bit of hesitancy. To go, okay. All right, Paul, we'll give this a shot. Like you and your in-laws. All right. We'll give this a shot and see how we can do this. I have great in-laws, by the way. We're not perfect, but we get along fine. Here's how we can come together. And look at how it really focuses on right here, right? This is where the battle's at. I could start with Julie and go all the way around and end with Lindsay on where the battle takes place. That's right here, isn't it? Right in the old think tank. And you guys know as well as when I know, when I have kind of maybe slacked off on renewing my mind, when I kind of maybe have gone through the motions with the spiritual things, but I have not focused on the one I should be focused on. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I'm doing the actions of what I think are right, but my heart's far from the Lord. As if we're going to trick God into thinking, I'm doing the motions, but you know my heart. Bless me anyway. So as we focus and go, okay, moving forward, we have no idea what this next year has for us, right? If it's one thing that we have learned about consistency, is it's not very consistent. But what we can have together can be consistent. We have done well these last few years. Our church has done fantastic with what Romans 12 is saying. So I'm not even going to say we should be doing this. Let's just keep doing what we are doing. I believe we're there. I believe we're already doing it as a whole. Let's just keep, let's encourage us to keep on going. How we're going to conform our mind. How we're going to look at, hey, I have a gift. I have value and significance. Lord, how can you use me to help my brother and sister in Christ grow in their walk? I'm willing to be humble and just be used in any way, shape, or form to help. It might put me out of my schedule, it might be a little bit uncomfortable, might have to do some things or drive somewhere to help them, because I might have to really encourage them on their own time, but that's okay, Lord, I'm here for you. And watch and see where we're at now, and if we do what this tells us to do, which I think we can apply to our lives, see where we'll be at this December. I guarantee you, it's going to be a beautiful thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, I'm so thankful for Romans chapter 12. I'm thankful, Lord, that there's no prejudice with you. That when a believer, when a person trusts you as their Savior, Lord, you give them a gift. And we can focus on that gift. We can conform our mind. We can renew our mind, Lord, as we focus on you and yield to your Spirit, all the fruit of the Spirit to come through us and invest into others. Lord, I can't imagine what this truth was like to the Jews and Gentiles back when it was written. But allow us, Lord, to have the right heart in each other here in the body of the way. To be focused on the practical Christian living tools that we see there in Romans 12. What I believe we're already doing it. I pray that Romans 12 would just encourage us to keep on doing what we're doing. simply because you're worth it. Bless our afternoon. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.